This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 192 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Hello, I'm Kelvin Newman.
And I'm Andy White. And in today's show, it's a show full of tools,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to see how many I can squeeze in
for the internet.
Yeah, see how many I can squeeze into our 15-minute sort of episode that we've got planned today.
Are these general tools, or are they specific to an area?
I mean, I think that they're kind of that, hopefully they're all time-saving, is one of those, the overlying theme in them. But they're kind of social content marketing sort of tools, if that makes sense.
Proceed with the first tool, yes. Mr. Newman.
Well, the first of those tools is actually one we touched upon in the previous episode, which is called Do Share.
I do find that name slightly dodgy.
Yeah?
It sounds like you're saying a rude word until you realise that you've said two words.
Okay. I wouldn't like to even go down that route.
Enough said.
So, yeah. Basically, it's a Chrome plugin. It's available, it's got a really stupidly long URL, but if you go to bit.ly/doshare, you'll be able to go straight to that. And essentially, it's a plugin for Chrome that allows you to schedule Google Plus updates. So it's not very easy to do that. There are a couple of tools out there, that allow you to do that. But this is
now,
one of the easiest
on.
And
Google
free.
Didn't try and stop that by making the API not friendly well, to
Yeah, I mean, it's not
thing.
Google's preferred way of doing it, because they prefer people to be manually entering stuff, because the logic is if you had to type it in manually, then it is going to do that. Now, what this doesn't do is it isn't a kind of you can set it up so whenever your RSS feed hits publish, it will automatically pump it into Google Plus. That's not what DoShare does. What DoShare allows you to do is when you are making an update, choose when it publishes, and it's a Chrome plugin. So to the extent that your computer has to be online and Chrome has to be open at that point in time for it to work.
I'm with you.
All it essentially does is you hit publish now, but that doesn't go through until the point in time at which you
said
it would.
So it just delays the posting, basically.
Yeah, so that's no good if you're you're going to be on a plane and your computer's going to be closed down and you want to schedule something while you're in the air. But if it is a kind of, actually, I've just read these five great articles and I think I want to share all of them on Google Plus, but if I do them all now, that's going to overwhelm everyone's feed. So actually, I'd prefer to do one now, one in 4 hours' time, another one tomorrow, and that type of scheduling. Or actually, I've shared this thing promoting a product of mine now, it'd be good if I could give it a nudge again in a week's time, that type of scheduling. So it's very, very good for that there as well. So yeah, it does pretty much everything that you would do within Google Plus, but just you can schedule it to go in a future point in time. It's not enterprise standard and sometimes can be a little bit flaky, but I think for most of us, which is just we want to make it a little bit easier to say, actually, I've got this great thing I want to share, but it's 7 o'clock at night. I really ought to wait till office hours for that. You can schedule it and it'll go out at 9 o'clock that following morning.
As really long as your computer switched on.
Yeah, and Chrome's turned
what
on.
What about if you exit Chrome and then come back in again? Does it remember?
Yeah, it remembers all those bits.
Cool, okay.
Perfect. Next up is Pinalytics, which was actually launched, and I think we've touched upon this in previous episodes.
I think we mentioned it before.
Yeah, it was launched at the last Brighton SEO. And essentially, what Pinalytics is an analytics tool for Pinterest. And essentially, it allows you to track and evaluate and measure interactions with a piece of content on Pinterest. So it's really, really good for kind of stuff that you might have previously done manually. So if you're doing any kind of Pinterest campaign, you're going to want to report on how many pins you've had, how many repins you've had, and all this type of interaction that happens on Pinterest. Now, Pinalytics, just a relatively simple piece of software that allows you to report upon that. So if you're at all considering Pinterest, use Pinalytics, because I don't think you can successfully do a social media campaign if you're not trying to measure it. So definitely worth exploring on that front as well. Next up on my list is actually a tool called Slipstream. Now, again, basically it's Do you ever have this problem, Andy, where there's too many people tweeting on Twitter for you? It's just too busy, you know, a bit overwhelming, the kind of flow of the number of people are doing it.
Yes, potentially around, all the time.
Particularly with...
all the time, Kelvin. Yeah. I'm following too many people.
And particularly around potential topics that just are not of interest. So it might be a conference people are attending, or X Factor, or a sporting event, or all of this
And you
stuff.
Think, why am I following this person? Yeah. I'm not interested in what they do.
Yeah, but maybe like 50% of their tweets are really good for you, but it's the other 50% that isn't. So what Slipstream does is, it's no good if you're using a app to access Twitter, but what again it is, it's a plugin that you can use that kind of allows you to you know, kind of concentrate on and turn off certain hashtags or certain topics.
What does it plug into? Is it Chrome?
Yeah.
Oh, it's another Chrome plugin.
So essentially there, it's again one of those ones that just sort of like makes life potentially a little bit easier to deal with by kind of removing some of the clutter of tweets that you know aren't going to be useful for you ahead of time. Next up on my list is Ift. Have you used Ift?
Oh, I've heard of it. If this, then that.
Yeah, that's
They stole my idea, because I was going to do smart threads and then they stole it.
Ah,
it was all my idea.
Sue them, Andy.
They nicked it. No, I'm too nice to sue. Okay. I don't want to sue them. It's probably really cool.
Just, you know, fish out the pattern when they get really big, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, smart threads are still languishing in my development directory.
Ah, there you go. Well, basically, if this, then that. Is kind of, it's built for kind of to give people who can't code some of the functionality that someone who could code might be able to knock up. So basically it allows you, it's all about triggers and kind of results. So basically it would say, if I tweet a photo, update, you know, download it to my Dropbox. Or it doesn't play as friendly with Twitter because, you know, Twitter's making all their API changes, so it's a little bit more complicated than perhaps it would have been. But it can be things like, if I upload a photo to Instagram, also upload it to Tumblr. Or, you know, if I upload a put a link on Tumblr, add it to my Delicious, that sort of type of thing that you can do. So you really want to have a play with it, because each individual ones you're going to want to do it. But it's kind of quite clever. And most people seem to be using it, if someone follows me on Twitter, spam them. But, you know, that's hence why the Twitter stuff is kind of being tailed back a bit. But it's a really interesting
tool. Just out of interest, have these guys got... Is it paid or free? Have they got business model?
I don't know what the business model is, actually, to be honest.
AAC.
There you go. Yeah. Always a worry.
If this, then that.
Next up is a tool. Again, we interviewed the founder of this tool a couple of months ago, called EdgeRank Checker. And it's a great sort of Facebook analytics package, a bit like Pinalytics, but, you know, more involved, more powerful, and specifically for Facebook. Now, I debate, and I had this discussion with Chad, the founder, that EdgeRank Checker doesn't really check EdgeRank of an individual piece, but it kind of aggregates up and that type of thing. But it's still a very, very useful tool that allows you to understand which of your content had the most exposure, which are the best times of day to be able to, you know, schedule your content. Are there general trends in your content being more or less popular in the way that people interact with it? So potentially in terms of, I think it might not give you an edge. If you're looking to get a score of your edge rank, you're going about it the wrong way. But if you want to learn about the content you are doing, what's working well, and trying to use that to inform to go forward, Edge Rank Checker is a really good way of doing that. Next up on my list is StumbleUpon Paid Discovery.
Can I hazard a guess? This is some sort of addition to StumbleUpon service.
Yeah, and essentially it's a advertising platform, which people don't often talk about on social media. They'll sometimes maybe talk a little bit about Facebook advertising, or maybe a little bit on LinkedIn. But quite often what people have done is you've produced this great content, but for whatever reason it's not really taken off socially, and then that happens. But if you spent like 3 or 4 days working on a great piece of content that just hasn't taken off socially, you can't just bin it, right, and go, okay, well, never mind. You've got to try and do something to get that started again. And some paid social traffic could be a really good way of doing that. Now, what StumbleUpon does really, really well is it doesn't cost a lot. And basically all you do is you pay for 100 people to visit your content. And the hope is that those 100 people will give it a thumb up on StumbleUpon, which then starts to send it natural traffic as well. So
it gives you a bit of a boost.
Yeah, it gives you a boost. And I don't think like you want to be doing that for all of your social content, because the whole point of social is that it should be free, in inverted commas, traffic. But if you're not getting that free traffic for a bit of content, you think that just needs a little bit of a nudge, you know, just a few more people to see it, to begin that process of it getting seeded. StumbleUpon Paid Discovery is a really good way of doing that.
I love this one.
Next up is Social Bro.
Social Bro.
Which is kind of, it's a Twitter plugin. And I'll be honest, there are elements of Social Bro that absolutely do my nut. Like their email, like I've tried to unsubscribe about 17 million times and they're still emailing me all the time. But it is really, really good for understanding a number of things about your followers, about, you know, your friends and all this type of thing. The thing I found most interesting is the kind of best time to tweet. So I can log in and it will tell me the best time to tweet in the next 24 hours is 3 o'clock.
How does it work that out?
Because it's looking at all your followers, and best here is kind of perhaps a little bit sleight of hand. They're saying, when are most of the people you're following by tweeting, if you see what I mean. Mm. So there's an argument that's really the busiest time. So sometimes actually the argument you don't want to be tweeting at the busiest time, because that's when you're going to get lost in the feed.
But the
logic is that if people are tweeting, it does mean they're definitely on the site, so there's a greater likelihood that they're actually, you know, responding to that. And it also say the best time to tweet this week, all this type of thing. That's really, really good as well. So yeah, a pretty good tool there.
I'm gonna check Social Bro out.
It's kind of free to get started there as well. Another one, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but it's Facebook have, and I'll tell you the URL, but we'll put it in the show notes. So it's developers.facebook.com/tools/debug. And that's essentially a debugger for the Open Graph that we talked about. So the technology that we talked about there.
Yep.
And Open Graph, if you missed the previous show, it's essentially a kind of meta markup language that allows you to say this type of content is a website, or it's a video, and the title of the page is, the language is, the description is, the snippet you should take, and here's the photo, and all of these types of things that if you don't have set, the Facebook and Google Plus and LinkedIn will make assumptions, and sometimes those assumptions are wrong. So they might pull through one of your adverts as the main image, and if you know, or it might, you know, it'll pull through the advert. People say, well, that advert isn't the image that should go with this. They hit the cross and then you've got a text link rather than a text and image link, you know, if you'd have had that image set up properly, or all kinds of different potential oversights that if you've got the code implemented properly, you can resolve.
I wonder if any of the big content management systems like WordPress have got plugins that
I would imagine so. Yeah. I don't know of any, but yeah, it could be done on a templated basis.
It could be. I bet there is a plugin.
I mean, almost certainly, but yeah. It's the kind of, you probably want to, even with those plugins, you probably want to
still
check
use the debugger. Make sure you're using it properly. Yeah.
My second to last tool is that, and this isn't really a tool, but it's something you can do that you might not know. But if you go to Google Image Search, it's possible to put in the URL of an image, or to potentially upload an image, and it will search the net for other instances of that exact same image. So you can look at, like I could do it with my profile picture and see where I've got profiles online, or if you've produced an infographic, you could upload that to see where people might have written about your infographic but not used it, or where people have used photos of yours but not credited you, or even just to kind of like keep track of where stuff's being shared that's visual. So that's kind of like, it's not going to be a life-changing tool, but it just is, if ever you've had to try and track down an image that you've produced online, but you know the file name's changed, how do you do that? This will allow you to do that.
That's clever stuff.
And my final one is, it's been around for absolutely years, this, and I kind of often forget that I use it, but it saved me so much time in the past. It's called Packratius.
So, and the .us is the .us.
Yeah, so it's packratty.us, sorry. Mm. And essentially, it's a plugin for Twitter that allows you to automatically bookmark links that you've tweeted. So I've got mine set up with Delicious. Right. Mm. So what that means is, without any effort whatsoever, every link I've ever tweeted is bookmarked on my Delicious account, which is good.
Do you know, I'd forgotten about Delicious.
Yeah. But what's really handy for that, so what this then solves is like, oh, I remember I shared that Twitter link about how to do, you know, how to implement Rel Author, but I can't remember which blog it was on. Mm. Or that was a real great tool that told me what the best time to tweet was, but I can't remember what it was called. Mm. So I can then go to Delicious. It's got all of the links that I've shared on Twitter, and I can then search within that, which limits it in some way. Now, it's still like, if you've got no idea of the title and no idea of the author, it's going to be tricky. But you're kind of, instead of searching the whole web, you're just searching those that you've shared previously, which, you know, when it's 6 months down the line and you can't remember that great tool that you didn't need at that point in time, but suddenly a client project's come up that requires it, or a problem's arisen. I need, you know, what's the name of that debugger tool that Kelvin mentioned? Mm. You see what I mean? It's that type of functionality that can save you half an hour. But if it saves you half an hour, that's half an hour you can be working on something productive rather than kind of going, oh, what was it? Oh, was it on Mashable? No, it wasn't on Mashable, you know. And that type.
Because just as a side issue, I know we talked about Pacratius, but Delicious, which I'd kind of forgotten about, that is a social bookmarking site. But is it also a good way to just, say you stumble upon, pardon the pun, a really good site and think, oh, I must remember that. Is it good to just whack it in Delicious for your own use?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what you're using. There's other ones out there as well. There's like Pinboard as well. Mm. Or a lot of people use like Instapaper and that type of thing. Which
I use Instapaper,
And Pacratius will, you know, do it for Instapaper as well. But I mean, I think generally, different people work in different ways, but I think it's good to have some kind of means of keeping track of stuff that you found interesting that you might not need now, but by the time you do need, you might have forgotten some of the details about how to go about, you know, finding that. So yeah, definitely worth exploring there. So hopefully some great tools that people might not have come across before, and ones that certainly make my life a little bit easier and save me quite a bit of time.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. And do you know what we're talking about on the next episode?
Next episode...
As he frantically searches the Google Doc again.
It's actually a bit of an Andy episode, where we're going to be talking a bit about web TV and how that differs from video podcasting and some of the stuff Andy's been up to recently that I think is potentially really interesting for listeners.
A bit of a career change for me, really. Or career shift. A career bleed is probably the best way of...
A bleed?
Well, it's sort of smudging over into other areas. Okay, it's probably a bit of a negative connotation than bleed. Anyway, thanks for listening to Fit Instead Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye from me.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.